The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Monday, everybody. It's Monday, June 21st, 2021. This is the Michigan Insider. First Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, online at WTK.com. Happy to be here on a Monday morning. Excited to be here with you to open up this week. And to get rolling, coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the countdown of the 2021 Michigan football season. Shortly after that, of course, later on in the morning, we're going to get to the recruiting roundup at around 7:45. We're also going to get to Scott Bell, the mayor of Michigan Twitter. Scott's going to join us at 9:05 here for his Monday visit on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. I hope everybody had a great Father's Day weekend. Hope it was a lot of fun. I know we had a lot of fun in the Weintraub household, including on Saturday, had a chance to hit the links and get Grace out on the course with me, and it was fun. It's, you know, I always kind of, I guess the last couple of years, I thought about all those times that I would hop in the cart with my dad, and my clubs being super short, I wasn't really playing. I was, you know, hitting some tee shots and hitting a few other shots throughout the round, but otherwise just spending, you know, a few hours in the course with my dad. So I was just kind of waiting for that moment to happen that I finally be able to get to do that with Grace. And our friend Stevie D was in town from Dallas, and so he and I went out to Polo Fields, and we brought Grace, and it was great. She hit the ball better than we did sometimes, it seems like, and I think she's ready to challenge Sam. But that was a lot of fun. It was one of the headlines of a really fun Father's Day weekend. Had a lot of fun with the family, and I hope all of you did as well, and maybe had a chance to recharge your batteries as well as we get rolling here on this final full week in June here in 2021. So we're going to get to the countdown of the Michigan football season in just a little bit, but as I mentioned, the recruiting roundup coming up a little bit later on in the show. It's going to be a busy recruiting roundup, and maybe we'll talk about it beyond that because Michigan had a very busy recruiting weekend. Sam previewed it heading into the weekend, Victor's weekend, and Victor's weekend produced the announcement of a couple of commitments. Belleville, Michigan linebacker Aaron Alexander announced his commitment to the Michigan football program class of 2022. And Columbia, South Carolina running back C.J. Stokes also announced his commitment to the class of 2022 as well as a part of this very busy Victor's weekend. So we will talk about that during the recruiting roundup and beyond. But great news for Jim Harbaugh and his staff as they have started to reap the rewards of what's been the first, 20 days of the recruiting window as they picked up a couple commitments over the weekend. So we will talk about that in more detail with Sam Webb, your recruiting expert. But exciting news for a local kid, Aaron Alexander, the linebacker from Belleville, and also Columbia, South Carolina running back C.J. Stokes. Maybe our guy Eric down in Columbia, South Carolina, can tell us something about the running back C.J. Stokes. So we'll get to that throughout the morning here, including the recruiting roundup. Something that we've been watching, that we've been talking to you about here on the show, want to give you one final update. It was one of the things that we were watching during Father's Day week, and that was the FIBA AmeriCup, which was taking place down in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Naz Hillman was a part of Team USA, and we were watching those games. We watched most of the games. You didn't have a chance to watch all, hour and 40 minutes, give or take 45 minutes, hour and 45 minutes of the three tournament games. The quarterfinals on Thursday, the semifinals on Friday, and the championship game on Saturday. But I watched a fair amount of it, of the three games. And Naz was doing Naz things, needless to say, as she was doing throughout the tournament. She didn't quite have her A game offensively in the gold medal game. She only had 8 points. They were really contesting her around the basket. They were throwing long arms at her to block some shots and make things a little bit more difficult and give Naz more difficult angles to work with. Puerto Rico, who Team USA already beaten earlier in the during pool play, they kind of had an idea of what Naz was bringing to the table, but still 12 rebounds, still doing Naz things, just a little bit harder work on the offensive end. But Michigan women's basketball coach Kim Barnes-Jerico was down there in Puerto Rico to watch Team USA win gold as they beat Puerto Rico 74-59. And I would love to know, because it was some strategic and lineup changes in the second half, going with Owusu from Maryland, who only played briefly at the end of the first half in the gold medal game. But Dawn Staley, who was coaching that team, pushed a couple of buttons, the right ones, and Team USA was terrific in the third quarter. They were down by as many as 11 points, I believe it was, in the first half. And they were up by, I believe it was up 11 at one point in the third quarter. They went on to win the game 74-59. But they were up, I believe they made it double digits by the middle to late part or the late part, I should say, of the third quarter. A terrific performance by Team USA. So congratulations to Naz Hillman, who has now been a part of three Team USA international tournaments, and Naz Hillman has three gold medals to her name. And we were talking about this at home, including yesterday on during Father's Day with talking to my mom and my dad about this. So obviously the Olympics are askew this year by a year off, right? So the next Summer Olympics are in 3 years. The following Summer Olympics after that are in 7 years. And we're just trying to figure out, you know, Naz, who has now been a part of three Team USAs, coming back for one more year in the maize and blue, and then she's going to head off and be a very high draft pick in the WNBA. We were, I was reading that mock draft from a couple of, was about a month and a half ago, or so ago. Ryan Howard, who was on Team USA, is listed as the first pick, and Naz was listed right there as the second pick. She's going to be in that conversation, which is really exciting a year from now. So what's her future prospects with Team USA? Now, We'll see Team USA in the Olympics, and you'll see what kind of veteran presence they have. And you kind of have to start figuring out which of those players will maybe not want to be there, or will be, you know, maybe beyond their careers or that stage of their careers in 3 years. And the answer might be not many. And so it's a real battle to get on that team for Naz in 3 years. But by 7 years from now, when she's in the heart of her WNBA career, I imagine that we'll see Naz back in the red, white, and blue once again for Team USA. So that was one of the two things that we were watching very closely during the during Father's Day week. The other, of course, was the US Open. I know people were watching the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Some big stuff happened. The NBA playoffs, we'll get to that a little bit later on this morning as well. But Father's Day week means US Open week, except for last year. And I'll tell you, watching it this week really kind of highlighted how much we missed that sense of normalcy of Father's Day last year. We're grilling burgers and dogs and having mom and dad over and watching the U.S. Open on Father's Day itself. But the entire weekend was a terrific four-day event out there on the South Course at Torrey Pines Golf Course. We've talked about it a little bit here on the show, but here's some more thoughts as you go through. So if you were watching the first couple rounds, Bland was your second-round leader. A guy from Europe who was at 48 was the oldest first-time winner on the European Tour. It was a really cool story. It was a really fun two-day story, but the clock struck midnight early Saturday for him, early in his round on Saturday, and he fell back to the pack and eventually fell way back to the pack and saw him finish out. You know, it was a really fun story for him. He's a really cool story. So it's fun to have those. And you're every year in the U.S. Open, pretty much every year in the U.S. Open, you have a guy, whether it's for a round or two and sometimes even three, that you don't really know who he is at all. In this case, this year was Bland. But eventually they fade away and create room on the leaderboard for, I mean, just big name after big name to have a chance to shine. And that's what we saw. I saw two things take shape. One is just the spectacular views from the drone shot, just unbelievable shots of the golf course in La Jolla. And it's very inviting to make you want to watch that much more. And it was and giving you the overhead shots of showing you this course and how it's built into the terrain and, you know, showcasing the land that it's on and the coast, the ocean. It's a beautiful piece of land, and how this spot of land above the, you know, up on the cliffs is built for this golf course, and showing you and really highlighting with the overhead views of how narrow the fairways are. And then when they zoom in, you get to that, you see it the first cut, but it's very short. There's not much of a first cut of the rough. And then you get into the thick stuff, and it is really thick, and it is really unforgiving. And once you're errant, it makes a difference. And we saw that, especially yesterday on the back nine. Wow. As it roared its teeth, Torrey Pines took over, in fact, on the back nine. I mean, that's really what it was. 10, 11, 12 are considered the hardest holes in the course. 13, the par five, and then 18 at the end. Those are two birdie holes, generally speaking, maybe even eagleable holes. So you can get some of those scoring back, but the back nine just started taking bites out of the golf course, out of the players. Rory McIlroy melted down in the back nine. We saw a ball bounce into a tree and stay there for Mackenzie Hughes. It was remarkable. Bounced down, bounced back up, and then nestled in the tree. So he had to take a drop, and that cost him, and pretty much that was the end of – and he and Henley were two of the three third-round leaders, and they fell off pretty quickly, and that was the end of Mackenzie Hughes's any chance that he might have thought of creeping back into the tournament. Bryson DeChambeau, oh, wow. I mean, if you weren't watching yesterday, of all the things on the non-championship side, on the winning side, and we'll talk about the winner, obviously, in just a moment, but as we go through this and you watch other players, you know, maybe have a chance to win. As I mentioned, big names on the leaderboard. The defending champion of the U.S. Open, Bryson DeChambeau, was at the top of the leaderboard when he turns to the back nine. He finished number nine. He was two under on the front nine. He had birdied number five and number eight. He was two under on the front, and he was leading the golf tournament. And then after a par on number 10, a bogey on 11 on the par three, and he could not find a fairway at all for, it seemed like, the rest of the round. He could not find the fairway. Bogeys 11, bogeys 12, goes into real fall apart mode, and double bogeys 13. So in those three holes, he's four over par. He recovers a little bit and pars three straight holes. Obviously, at this point, he's out of the tournament. And then on number 17, he takes a quadruple bogey, a snowman, an eight. I mean, he lost it physically. He lost it mentally. However you could lose it on a back nine, he lost it. And again, on a day, in a round where he turned onto the back nine with the lead. It was one of the most remarkable meltdowns that I think we've ever seen. I don't know. I mean, we've seen plenty in championship events in the past. I'm sure we have. We've seen guys blow it on number 18 or whatever the case may be. But on a back nine to implode, yeah, that was Bryson DeChambeau yesterday. But it opened the door for two guys. It opened the door for one of the there were three leaders after the third round, and one of them was Louis Oosthuizen, a former major, multi-time major winner, and the other one is Jon Rahm, who had not won a major yet, but he may have been considered the best golfer in the world without a major. A couple weeks ago at the Kelowna, at the Memorial, he was up by, what, six strokes before he had a positive COVID test that he eventually tested out of, and, you know, a couple of negatives over the next, you know, 10 days, and he was able to get out there into the Open. But he tested positive with a six-stroke lead, had to withdraw from the tournament. He was going to win. We talked about it, the $1.something million that cost him. But he turns around and just turns in an amazing final round. On the front nine, he opens up with a couple of birdies right off the jump. Now, he does bogey number four, but he birdies number nine to bring that one back. He was three under on the front. And then when he comes back on the back, it's just consistency. So he got out to a good start, and then the back nine, he just goes par, 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 par. But as he goes seven pars in a row, what you're also doing, pretty much every one of those holes, except for maybe number 13, the par five, every one of those other holes is playing over par by average, at least by fractions, point something over par. So every par he has, he is bettering the field by fractions. So if you do that for four straight holes, that's a stroke or two. And it's as everyone is faltering around him, all these implosions, all these guys dropping down, he's just parring up to number 17. And then he sets himself up at number 17 with a real bendy long putt. And wow, was that putt special. I don't know how much break it was. It was a long break. He was nearly 90 degrees from the cup when he was aiming for his mark that it putted around. Huge break. And then he goes to 18, and it didn't bend nearly as much, but it still had a bend in it. And he birdies that one. And that was at around, I marked this down because I was kind of curious, because he was not in the last three groups. So it's around 7:30 that he finishes up at 6 under par. He was steady, steady, closed, and boom. In the clubhouse at 6 under par. And eventually goes out to the driving range just to hit some shots, just to stay a little loose. Because it's not until well after 8 o'clock, I want to say 8:15, that the leader, that Oosthuizen, is finally coming through. And he puts himself in a position where on 17, if he could just par 17, he could be within one shot of the lead going into the very birdieable 18th hole. And he can give him a chance to send it to a playoff. But instead, on the 17th hole, Oosthuizen cannot keep the ball in the fairway, which was a major issue for these guys yesterday afternoon, except for Jon Rahm. Although he had his issues as well, but he recovered better. But Oosthuizen put his ball into a shrub, and he was in a terrible position, in which case, really, he basically, at that point, took himself out of it. But he takes the penalty, he drops it, he doesn't even have a place to quite get there to approach it, so he misses it, and he ends up, he bogeys the hole, and he falls back to two back with par five to play. So takes a penalty, drops it. He needs to get his approach as close as possible. He hits a decent shot, but not quite as close as he needed. He misses the putt. He bogeys. He is now two back with an eagleable par five. He needs another miracle eagle. He had a miracle eagle on Saturday. So he needs a second miracle eagle on the same hole. I wouldn't say necessarily the one on Saturday. It was a long putt, though. So I guess you call it a miracle eagle because it was a terrific putt. But he needed this again. But instead, he puts it in the thick rough, and he has to lay up. He can't even get there in two. He has to lay up. So now he's about 69, 70 yards out, and he's got a clean look to the pin, which is up front. He's got, and he takes a good look at it. He knows what he's got to do, but he obviously, I mean, it's a long shot from the hit. He doesn't. And so John Rahm, who is on the driving range, celebrates. Very unusual, but it happens every once in a while. You're not celebrating on the 18th green. You are celebrating on the driving range. And he was there with his wife, his baby, his dad, Phil Mickelson, and a few other people. And, of course, TV cameras were there. And it was fun to watch him celebrate there. And John Rahm is your U.S. Open champion. He wins the third major of the golf season. He's the first Spaniard to win the U.S. Open. And he takes that label of arguably the best golfer in the world to not win a major. He takes that label off his back. Still a young guy, plenty of opportunities to have done that anyway. But while I generally root for Americans to win our national championship, it's the U.S. Open, right? Rahm seems like quite a character. So again, he's from Spain. Native language is Spanish. He went to Arizona State. But when he hits a bad shot and he gets angry, I remember it was a few years ago he hit a shot and he goes, that has to be the worst golf shot ever. Now, it wasn't the worst golf shot ever, but the funny part was that he says it in English. I would just assume that if you're from another country, if you're from Italy, from Spain, whatever your country is, and your native language is not English, even though his English is great, so I'm not saying he's a great English speaker, but it's your native language. It's what you spoke for the first however many years of your life. Wouldn't that be the language you start, you know, getting mad at yourself? And he had a couple of those that get caught on the boom mic. Gotta love the boom mics in golf. And so he seems like quite a character. And really, the career for John Rahm was building to this moment. And he gets to that moment. And he wins the major yesterday. And it was a really cool moment. It's always fun on Father's Day to see anybody win, obviously. Everybody, whoever wins. But usually, they're there with their father or with their kid. And it makes for that extra special moment on Father's Day, which is what happened yesterday for John Rahm. So this is what we're going to do. We have not yet had a chance to get to it, but we're gonna save the countdown to the start of the Michigan football season. We're going to get to the other side of the break, and I will be joined by my guy, Sam Webb. We'll get to the countdown of the Michigan football season. We'll catch up to where we are. We will continue to talk about the big victors weekend, and I know Sam had his eye on a team he counted out in the NBA playoffs, and they came back. So we'll get to that and more here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.